Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke and for Lori Walsh. Members of the Republican and Democratic leadership were guests on a recent South Dakota Focus. They shared their thoughts on the impact of bills passed and rejected during the legislative session, as well as other topics left for further study or action next year. SDPB's Larry Rohr has this summary of their conversation.
Guests for the legislative review included Republican leaders Senator Jim Bolin of Canton and Representative Tom Peschke of Del Rapids, and Democratic leaders Senator Troy Hinert of Mission and Representative James Smith of Sioux Falls. All agreed there was a learning curve in both communications and the legislative process this year. But as for major accomplishments, some were more personal than others. That was the case for Senator Hinert and legislation that recognized indigenous languages.
Senate Bill 126, the language bill. Mm-hmm. That was a huge, huge difference in the minds of the people that I represent and me as a native person. We're the first state in the continuous United States to pass indigenous language. And South Dakota was the perfect state to do it. The nine tribes in South Dakota are what's called the Ocheti Shakowin, means the seven council fires. Mm-hmm. We speak the same language in different dialects. So we speak Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota, depending on where you're from. You know, it really rights some wrongs in what happened to indigenous people in South Dakota. There was lots of elders up there who never thought they were going to speak their native language in the halls of that capital, and they did, and it was great to see.
And all agreed with Representative Smith on the importance of appropriating additional funds to support nursing homes.
For years, you know, we've done a better job, I think, trying to move up the pay scale in education and other things in picking one each year. And this year, we didn't hear a lot of talk early on about it, but definitely it kind of became the issue, and people in the off season were talking about that. And the appropriators came through for us with a 10% increase overall there, which isn't enough to solve the whole problem, but it's a great first step. I really appreciate the heavy lifting that was done by the appropriators to get that done.
For Representative Peschke, it was concealed carry, which turned out to be the first bill Governor Noem signed.
For me personally, and for gun owners across the state, a big issue was the constitutional carry. Senate Bill 47 got signed into law. Mm-hmm. People have been working towards that legislation for many years. And gun owners across the state have wanted that piece of legislation for many years. And that was one of Governor Noem's campaign promises, that if we brought that same piece of legislation to her desk, she would sign that. It was the very first bill that she signed, and I was extremely pleased that bill became law. So that was an important issue for me.
Senator Hinert, then Bolin, and Representative Smith explain why they were opposed.
My first thought is it's not constitutional carry. What we did is decriminalize carrying concealed, which is completely different. I've consistently voted against bills like this because public safety has requested us to. They've flat out come and lobbied us and said, this makes our job harder. It makes us less safe. They didn't come out against this bill, but they didn't come out in favor of it either. I heard from lots of gun owners who have a concealed carry permit and said, it's $10, it's easy. I know there's other people who disagree, and that's fine. But I thought we had a pretty good system. This isn't constitutional carry.
On this issue, I pretty much agree with Senator Hinert. I think the system we have actually in place right now worked pretty good. The system will actually change on July 1st. But this is part of a national movement. But I did not support that bill because I was standing with law enforcement and many other citizens in my area, I think, who were not. Basically just figured this current system's working, leave it alone.
Senator Bolin and I agree 100% on that. And the interesting thing to me is I've had a lot of people, when you get back from session, they talk to you about the bills that you passed. The first thing that comes up is that bill. They're gun carriers, they're gun owners. And they said, why'd you change that? Why did you need to do that? I was fine with the way it was. They actually want the background check. They want those things. So they come to us and that's the first thing they talk about. And I think there are many more people in there, especially in the House, that come from a different slant on the Second Amendment and what that means. And they were able to get that through this year with a new governor in place and get it signed.
But Representative Peschke was in the majority that sent that bill to the governor's desk.
I understand the thoughts of the other people saying it was only $10. Again, there's already a check when you go and buy your gun. There's a federally background check to buy your gun. So to have another check to if you want to carry your gun on your coat, in your glove box, under your car, just seemed redundant to me. You shouldn't have to pay $10 and ask the government again to carry your gun or to hide your gun, in my opinion. So that's why I'm so excited about the legislation.
Also signed into law was Senate Bill 176, legislation creating a system to grow wildlife habitat in the state. Representative Smith favored the concept, but not the process and the funding.
The funny thing about Senate Bill 176 is it didn't have to happen at all. The governor has said, well, we need this $1 million to go out and raise another $30 million, from these other conservation groups or other groups. There is a thing called the Futures Fund, which the governor has sole control over, with about $30 million in it. She could have took $1 million out of that. It didn't need our approval. She could have said, I'm starting the Second Century Habitat Fund. I'm putting $1 million out of the Futures Fund into it. This conversation would have never happened. We could have used that $1 million in some other area need, whether it's nursing homes or education or you name it.
Throughout the session, there was much debate over industrial hemp as a potential new crop for farmers. Bills were drafted, amendments were made and passed, but in the end, Governor Noem vetoed the bill and the legislature failed to override. That legislative process left Peschke and others scratching their heads.
There were four amendments put on this bill through the legislative process, and it's important to remember to know that these amendments all came from the governor's office. When the governor's office is working with this piece of legislation, you would get the assumption that they are actually, in a way, going to support the piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. I found that when you read her message, the first part of it says, this is a poorly drafted bill. Well, I don't understand how she can say that it's a poorly drafted bill when 70% of her amendment proposals were put into the legislation. And another point, too, is that hemp is not marijuana. I understand that there are some similarities, but hemp has to have under 0.03 THC. The saying in the House for some of us was, you can't smoke the rope, right? There's multiple products that you can make from hemp, and it was going to be a great economic development crop for our farmers and for businesses that want to come in, create jobs in the state. So all in all, I was just very disappointed that this piece of legislation got vetoed, and I hope that the sponsors bring it back better and stronger next year.
Also for the 2020 session, Senator Heinert hopes legislators will study the state's meth epidemic and be prepared to act.
The meth epidemic that South Dakota is in right now deserves its own study, and it needs to be in depth. Meth is killing communities, and not just reservation communities, but communities all over this state. And we need to have a serious conversation of what does treatment look like? What does long-term care look like? What does child service placement look like? What does schools look like now that we're going to have a large population of kids who have meth-related issues coming into their schools. And we're not going to be able to solve this alone, just in South Dakota. I mean, it's going to take some federal partners and some healthcare partners and counseling partners to get ahead of this. I think we're doing little things here and there, but we're not doing near enough.
And with a look to the 2020 election, Senator Boland says legislators did something rather unique regarding potential ballot issues.
Every proposal to put something on the ballot for this next election in 2020, every proposal was defeated. Right now, there are no issues going on the ballot for the fall of 2020. I know there are people out there circulating petitions, try to get things on the ballot, but I think the legislature is right now in the mood to require citizens, if you want something on the ballot, do it yourself.
Bills passed in this year's session will go into effect July 1st as the state's new budget year begins. Various legislative committees will meet through the summer and fall to study potential legislation for next year. And the state's fiscal 2021 budget will start to take shape in August for presentation in December. For In the Moment, I'm Larry Rohr.
You can watch the entire program at sdpb.org/sdfocus. This week's South Dakota Focus will spend the hour examining the Second Century Habitat program. That's Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Central, 7 Mountain on SDPB TV Channel 1.